this next couple of weeks. Okay, you got Romans chapter 12. Are y'all awake?
Amen.
No, not quite. Okay. I'm not going to have you stand to read Romans 12. But I tell this to kids, and it's hard for me to not go into kids ministry mode sometimes. So when I would preach to kids, I'd say, oh, kids, sit up straight. And as soon as you say to kids, sit up straight, they would all, like, put their backs against the chair. And I don't want you all to feel like I'm going to tell you all to sit up straight. But sit up straight, kids. And pay attention to what the Word of God says tonight, because it's a very important truth we're going to look at in Romans chapter 12. And look with me at verses 17 through 21. Romans chapter number 12, verse 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now tonight, verse 18 is the verse we're going to focus in on. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Father, please help us as we look into your word. Help us to see how we are to think as transformed believers. Help us to recognize this matter of living peaceably with others. And Lord, give us eyes to see tonight where this can be played out in our lives, how it can affect us in our interactions with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, are you a peacemaker? You know, if you're much of an aficionado of firearms, and I'm not a firearms aficionado, but I like to study them. I've studied them. I enjoy shooting occasionally. But if you're much of a firearms buff, you know that the Colt Single Action Army is also known as the Peacemaker. A few of you knew that. It was, I think, 1873. But it's a rather famous-looking weapon that was the West was often where people would see this. And they called it a peacemaker. But when I say peacemaker, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not a self-defense weapon that we're talking about. We're not talking about something that's meant to cause fear in the eyes of the enemy of evil or the enemy of good, the people that do evil. No, I'm talking about something that is inherently opposite of the culture that we live in. Because don't we live in a culture that is all about getting back? In fact, I've titled this, Dealing with Payback. And this is part two. Last week we looked at verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. And payback is really common, isn't it? If someone does you wrong, you just have the right to get them back. And it feels good to get them back in the flesh. And it's worth saying it feels good in the flesh. Because you and I need to recognize we don't live in obedience to our flesh anymore. Romans 12 tells us we're to be, chapter 12, verse 2, transformed. That there's something different way of thinking. The renewing of our mind that we may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm not to be conformed to this world. And in this world, getting back at people is common. It's the norm. It is the way people operate. But is that the way that you're to operate as a Christian? In transformed living, in a renewed mind, are you to be one who gets back? Yes or no? No. And now that's obvious for us to say, but isn't it challenging sometimes? And it's hard to not give back. Last week, we looked at the matter of, I can't get back. Number one was the thing of, I can't recompense or give back to people with my words, my actions, or even with my inaction. And we looked as well at the fact that I can't pick and, good, you're remembered. I can't say, well, I can treat that person one way, but not this person. No, it says recompense to no man. And even in our verse tonight, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. So I don't get to pick and choose who I'm going to treat right and not give payback to. A third thing we said was that I can plan. Oh, good, you remembered. I can plan ahead of time. the verse says in verse 17, provide things honest. And that word provide things honest, the providing is the idea of thinking ahead for this. I am planning for this. I'm not waiting until it happens and then saying, oh, how am I going to deal with this? I am expecting that this is going to happen, and when it does, here's what I will do. Now, there was a fourth thing we saw. We have an audience. We have an audience. It says, in the sight of all men. You're going to be in life before others this week. You're going to be in front of others. Family, you're going to be in front of family this week. Spouses, husbands and wives, you're going to be interacting with each other. You're going to interact with the world at large. And how will you act this week? Well, this evening, I want us to notice in verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, living peaceably is not a simple thing unless you understand what peace is. And so number one, if you're taking notes tonight on this, number one, to live peaceably requires peace. I know, that's really deep, Pastor. To live peaceably requires peace. Yes, you have to know what it is to have peace in order to live peaceably, in order for you to do this. It's like a prerequisite. Any of you had classes that you had to get through one thing before you'd be able to do something else? If you don't have peace and know peace, are you going to struggle to give it? Yeah, we're going to find out why that is in just a moment. Verse 18 gives us direction, but there's a context again for us to do this in. What's the context? Verse 2, I am to be transformed. So everyone else in our culture doesn't have peace in them. And yet they want peace, don't they? Everyone wants peace in our culture, in our world. Why is there no peace? Well, we're going to see that tonight. But at its very basic, has there been a transformation that's taken place in them that now God is at work producing and giving peace? If they're not saved, do they have peace with God? If someone is without Christ, is there peace with God, or are they at enmity with God? Okay, they're at odds with God. Now, one of the things that if you're going to define what peace is, it would be the lack of conflict or that state of unity or harmony. There's not discord and pulling apart. There is no conflict in that moment. And God supplies for us perfect tools to accomplish what we're told to do. So when God says here, live peaceably, is he saying that to people who have no way to do that? Or is he giving us direction because we have something in us that makes this possible? Back in verse 9 of our passage, when it says, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. If God says to love, is there a way for which we can love? Well, there is a method for that, and it's beyond ourselves. It's supernatural working, and it's going to be the working of the Holy Spirit. If you wanted to sum up when does peace really become clear, peace is one of the first sensible fruits of the pardon of sin, one writer has said. Peace is the first sensible fruit of the pardon of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in Jesus Christ that I'm able to have that peace with God. Now, you know Philippians 4, 7, where it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's an important statement. It's not a tacked-on thing. Where does the ability for that peace to come from? Is it just, I'm working at peace? Or does it come because of Jesus Christ and my relationship in Him? Because of Christ, I can know peace. And the working of the Holy Spirit produces that in us. Now, in Philippians 4, when it says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. If I didn't have His peace in the midst of very tumultuous and conflict-filled moments, what would happen? You know, I must have something keeping me from coming unglued. See, the thing that keeps you from just coming apart, going into conflict mode ourselves.
And that's what the working of the peace that comes from God is. It passes all understanding. And in the context there of Philippians 4, it's not just about prayer, although that's the immediate context. What's the broader context of the book of Philippians? Unity, being of the same mind, being able to think things in a way when there could be conflict. And even at the beginning of the book of Philippians, Paul talks about the conflict that people have thrown at him. How is Paul able to think right towards people that are beating him up? Well, he's letting the peace of God rule in his heart. He's letting the peace of God do a work in him that is supernatural. And before I can live peaceably with others, there needs to be an understanding of what peace looks like inside me. And I want to tell you, Christian, God wants you to know what peace is at work in you so that you can help others with it. Let me give an example of this. Turn over to James chapter number 3. James chapter 3. We're looking at the truth that to live peaceably, there needs to be peace that I know. Look over at James chapter 3. And if you've been here very long, James is going to be one of those passages, James 3, that I go to often. And I hope that over the next 20, 30 years, however long you put up with me, you know well the content of James 3 and the idea of James 3 verses 13 through 18. Because this matter of conflict is going to come up in your life. It's going to come up either this week or into the future. And notice with me in James 3 verse 13 what the Bible says. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't boast in that, don't vaunt in that, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Okay, so if I have bitter envying and strife, does that sound like peace? No. No, it's not. It's the opposite, by the way. If there's bitterness and envying and strife, that is not something that comes from God. That is something that the Bible goes on and says is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Does that look like a transformed person's thinking? No. Strife, bitterness, envy, that's not being transformed in your mind. That's not the will of God being played out in your life. Okay? But go on and read verse number 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then read the second one. Peaceable. It's peaceable. Gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And verse 18 is fantastic. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay, now this is important. Who's producing peace? Well, who is producing peace? The person that is listening to wisdom that's from above. The person that's yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because as we'll see, the Holy Spirit's fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering. This matter of peace is something that I don't produce of myself. And if I'm going to live peaceably with others, I have to let the Holy Spirit of God do the work of peacemaking in my own life. I don't just decide, I'm going to be at peace with people. No, friend. You yield to the Holy Spirit of God. You walk in the Spirit. And that will be what's produced out. Sometimes we want peace on our terms with other people, with our own hearts and what's going on and how we feel. Friend, let me tell you, being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God is where that is produced. It's not something that you can sow. And by the way, verse 18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. You won't be able to sow what you aren't bearing fruit in. And say it again. You won't be able to sow what you're not bearing fruit in. I grew up around corn here in Indiana and seed corn. I worked detasseling corn in the summers. Okay, what did they do that for? Well, they cross-pollinate different kinds of corn to get certain kinds of seed. And that corn would grow and it would have seed and they would use that corn that grew and bore fruit to plant more corn. And it's been going on a lot in Indiana. There's a lot of corn that gets planted in Indiana. A lot that's about to start getting planted. I love planting time and seeing stuff start to grow. But if I don't reap any corn, am I going to be able to plant any corn? No. If fruit isn't being born out of my life in the area of peace, how much am I going to be able to sow peace? I know this is real basic, Pastor. We know this. But are you considering the fact that if you're going to live peaceably with others, there has to be peace that's being produced in you before you can have peace with other people? It isn't going to happen by accident. It's going to be something that is bearing out in you. So, number one, live peaceably requires peace. Number two, back in our passage, when it says in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I want you to notice, secondly, to live peaceably is not easy. It is not easy. It says in verse number 18, as much as lieth in you. What does that phrase even mean? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, the idea of that is, as far as your part is concerned, you're pursuing after peace. As far as you can do, by the way, will everyone else always be pursuing peace? No, that's not what the point is here. What are you doing? As much as lieth in you, your part, are you going after peace? Are you pursuing peace? Like verse 17 says, I'm to take, in verse 17 it said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. I'm taking responsibility for preparation for that. In verse 18, I'm taking responsibility on my part to live peaceably. I'm taking responsibility on my part. Isn't it easy to say, well, they have a bad attitude? Well, they did da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da first. Isn't that our natural way of dealing with problems? Is that living peaceably? I just find the faults in everyone else's, but I don't take any responsibility for myself. No, you take preparation ahead of time for how you're going to respond when you're not treated right. Are you going to get mistreated? Well, of course, you live in Franklin, the land of peace and tranquility, right? Look on social media and you'll feel and know there's a lot of very angry, bitter people here. And whether or not there was social media or not, it was there. It was there 30 years ago, whether you saw it or not. It was there when America was great. No, everyone has had this problem. Why? Because apart from God's supernatural changing work, transforming the minds of people, guess what they're going to produce? They're going to produce stuff that's the wisdom of this world. And it's going to be filled with strife and bitterness and anger. And you know what? It stinks. So you're going to have it come at you this week. Can you have it come at you from people who claim to be Christians? Yeah, people that even live in your own home who know Christ, who on many days of the week try to do the right thing. But they did something, they said something, and that wasn't peaceable. What are you going to do? That's what this verse is pointing out. Your responsibility. That's why I say, are you a peacemaker? Because you have a choice about how you're going to respond. And you and I have to take ownership for our responses. And it's not always going to be easy. Bill Rice, the founder of the camp where we worked at for a long time, said, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. Isn't that true? Well, it's not easy to be a peacemaker. It is absolutely not easy to be a peacemaker. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and we have a good picture of this expression in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. And kids, you're going to like this, okay? How many of you kids like to run really fast? Love to press hard at winning the prize of something. Yes. You know, as we get older, we're kind of like, oh, I'm trying. And kids have that energy that's like, yes, I'm the fastest. I can do this. Send me at it. Well, I want to encourage you, kids. You can put that kind of energy into being a peacemaker. And you should. And adults, even if you don't feel like that vigorous and excited,
you can throw your energy and your diligence at being a peacemaker. Look with me at Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, that word endeavoring is the idea of make every possible effort. You're going at this with diligence. You're pursuing after something. There must be a serious amount of energy involved. Effort is exerted. And I love it when my kids are ready to exert energy. They just, Dad, I'm ready. I go jogging occasionally, and they're all begging to go jogging with me. You know, and they'll jog, you know, part of a block. Now, some of them are getting better, and they'll go a mile, and they're like, Dad, I can do more. I'm like, no, I know you can't. But actually, some of them have gotten further and further along, and some of them are getting faster than me. That's no fun. They have energy, and they want to use it. You're going to use your energy on something, aren't you? Are you using your energy as this word, endeavoring, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? You know, the half-hearted, well, I had to say sorry kind of attitude, that's not what we're talking about here. Well, I know I was rude with my words, but, you know, I don't think it hurt them that much. That's not endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's just not going to work. There needs to be some serious effort thrown at this. And by the way, that effort costs something, doesn't it? It costs our pride. Being a peacemaker will keep you humble. It really will. Because that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to produce too, isn't it? If I'm going to have meekness, which we find come up often in this matter of not having conflict, that means something's under control. It's not exerting, look at me and how great I am. So humility is going to be involved here, and probably some other fruits like long suffering, and maybe some gentleness, and maybe some love are going to go along with peacemaking, aren't they? You know, the fruits of the Spirit are not, well, one's great, but the rest, eh. They're all good. And they're all going to work towards what God wants in your life. That transformed kind of thinking. And I want you to know, you can endeavor for this. You need to be pushing for this, even when it seems to be really hard. That person just really, it's hard to be peaceable. Yeah, no one said this was going to be easy. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably. This is something that's going to be a big part of our effort, Christian. It's made that point here. It's made in Ephesians 4, as we're looking at. When I think of this concept of as much as lieth in you or endeavoring, I think of sprinting mode. Now, I told you I like jogging, and I like jogging at a pretty slow pace because I'm old and I want my knees to last a while, right? So 9.5 minute, 10 minute miles, I'm just trying to get my body moving. But sometimes I want to go fast. And so I'll sprint sometimes after I've jogged for, you know, 2 miles or something. I'll sprint. Now, sprinting for me is slow for young guys. I will admit this. You know, like a quarter mile at like a 7 minute pace, 7 minute mile pace, which is probably dangerous for my age. So, but I like the feel of going fast. That's what I think of when I think of your endeavoring. You're giving it everything you've got in that going time. Now you say, yeah, but that's just a burst and then you're over, right? Well, can I give you some encouragement to those who are feeling tired and running out of energy? The Holy Spirit never lacks. He never runs out of juice. The Holy Spirit producing in you peace, and you're pursuing that and going after that and endeavoring for that, it's not going to be, oh, I did it for 25 seconds and boom, I'm done. There's no more for the rest of this day. This is an unending supply, isn't it? So while it's not easy, do you have everything you need to produce peace?
to live peaceably with others. Do we have everything we need, church? I say, do you have everything you need? I'm realizing sometimes Christians feel like, you're saying it, but I don't think I do. And I want to remind you, you have every tool you need in the Holy Spirit. Some of you help in volunteering here at the church with a lot of different areas, with cleaning and grounds and maintenance and things. And I'm going to say it in front of you all, and maybe it'll encourage you to help volunteer because I say it. But if anything ever is broken that you need to use as a tool, let me know. Because I want to replace it and provide you the tools you need to get the work done the way it should be done. I don't want to be using a pair of pliers to nail nails. Now, you can do that, can't you, in a pinch? Sure. But do I want to do that for the next 20 years? No. So if we need a tool, if we have the ability to get it, we're going to depend upon the Lord to provide for it and get it. That's how you ought to think about things in ministry. That's how you ought to think about things spiritually. Has God provided everything you need to accomplish what he needs to do through you? Look up here, folks. Absolutely. Kids, if God wants you to be a peacemaker with your brother or sister or with your friends or with other kids, does he provide everything that you need for it? Or does he tell you to do something that, man, it's impossible. I know God says to do this, but I just don't think I can. No, it's possible. And not only is it possible, while it's difficult, you and I are to go after that. See that as the challenge that's part of our Christian life. Sometimes we look at challenges and we say, well, where's the easy place to do something? Uh-uh. No. See the challenge and pursue after it. Go after it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The passage in James 3, I know I'm jumping around a lot, and I appreciate your focus tonight. James 3:18 that talks about the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When you think of sowing, it's like planting. What do you have to do to be an effective farmer? You put effort in. You don't just throw some seeds out there and say, okay, I hope I have a cornfield. I remember my dad, when we'd plant a garden in the spring, he would till the ground. He would get a stake at each end, some kind of metal post, and he would put the baling line across, the baling string, to make a straight line. He wanted straight lines for his things. And he would get the planter that our neighbor had out, and he would do a test run with the planter, because you didn't want to plant and just find out, oh, we just ran this thing all over and nothing went into the places where it was. He tested it, he planted it, and then we prepared and we kept hoeing around it. Why? Because we wanted to reap what we'd sown. We wanted to see something produce. Okay, it takes effort to farm. It takes effort in the Christian life to see things like peace affecting others. To live peaceably with others is going to require effort. It's not just going to be a simple thing. And do you desire that kind of fruit? Do you desire to see the work of peace producing in your life? Or do you look forward for the fight? Do you look forward to the strife or the conflict? Do you desire to see reconciliation? Or do you desire to see further separation? Which do you desire? Which do you want to see take place? James 4 talks about the reason why we're not happy. You can read James 4 later, but one of the key things is it says, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. What's the antidote to that problem of our desires being all about getting what I want? Well, James 4, verse 6 says, God gives grace to the humble. And part of the work in peacemaking is humility. And again, that is not fun, is it? None of the things of a transformed life, if we just say, yes, God gets to produce humility in me, that is a good thing. But everything is screaming at you, it's not. Your flesh does not want to live in humility. Your flesh doesn't, and it's battling. And you and I have got to say, okay, God, I am pursuing after peace, and if that means I come down a few notches in the view of someone else, God, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with coming down in the way that I'm perceived by others. Because that isn't the most important thing. Sometimes we really try hard to keep a face that looks really impressive to others, when humility is what God wants of us, what he desires of us. So living peaceably requires peace. It requires as well that we see the effort. It's not always easy. And then finally, to live peaceably is not always possible with others. What? Aren't we to live peaceably? You just said we're to do this and it's to work at it and to go after it. It's not always possible. We'll go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Romans 12 and verse 18. Notice the very first statement. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Does that mean everything you've just said, Pastor, is not important, so I don't have to try? No. Here's what it means. The second point, it's not easy and you need to take responsibility for it, is always going to be true. You need to take responsibility on your part to live peaceably. But will everyone else always live peaceably with you? No. No. Sometimes we say, well, I tried, and they just wouldn't get along with me. They were fighting. In fact, have you ever had someone that you tried to be peaceable with and they were not peaceable back? Okay, does that mean my responsibility is over? I don't have to try. I don't have to continue to be a peaceable person, to seek for peace. You know, the pursuit of peace is something that we're to continue on in. It will not always be possible to have peace. You will not always be able to agree with someone or to come to an amicable term with them. Did Paul give space to heretics? Did he live peaceably with heretics? You say, what do you mean by? Well, did he say, hey, it's okay, we can compromise on this? And oftentimes people think in order to have peace, we have to compromise. That's not what this is about. I want you to get that in your mind, because if making peace means doing something that's wrong, well, now I'm not also living by faith. I'm not also living in love, because doing right by others is love. So there can't be conflicting things here. The Holy Spirit of God isn't going to want to produce peace in me in a person that's doing wrong. Did Paul ever have interactions with people who were doing wrong to him who weren't going to change their mind? Yes! He was persecuted for it, wasn't he? He was thrown in jail for people that didn't want him to preach what he was preaching. How did he act towards those people, though, that were doing wrong by him? Did he demonstrate peaceable attitudes towards those when it might not ever come back? The Philippian jailer comes to my mind for sure. But are there others? Was Paul disrespectful to authority when they were mistreating him? Well, this is really helpful. In Acts chapter 23, you have the story of Paul coming before the council, and he says to them, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded that they smite him on the mouth. Remember this? And when Paul said to him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to smite and be smitten contrary to the law. And when they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? What did he say? He said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. What's that about? Paul was not intentionally working to be disrespectful to this man in authority. But when he realized it, he admitted, I was wrong. You know what Romans 13 is going to be dealing with? Go ahead and look at chapter 13, verse 1, if you're there in Romans 12. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Was the Roman government always doing the right thing? No! How was the Christian oppressed by an evil government supposed to act? Now this is a very practical question, isn't it? Let's overthrow them! Let's get out our peacemakers. You know, aren't we a lot influenced by our culture when it comes to the thinking of what is most important for us as Christians? Now, you say, shouldn't we defend freedom? Absolutely. But why do we think that automatically means get our guns and let's go take over the government? That's not really the peacemaker mindset, is it? At its core, you and I have to ask ourselves a question. Does God want me to live peaceably with people even when it's not going to be reciprocated back? And the answer is yes. Now, friend, you're probably getting a whole bunch of questions in your head about, well, what can we do? What should we do? How should we stand up and fight? When is the right time to fight? You know the Holy Spirit will answer all those questions. He absolutely will. I'm convinced of that. Why do I want to fight so much is the question I'd ask you.
What do I want to fight for? You know, sometimes what we want to fight for is being right. And I want everyone else who's wrong to be put in their place. Can I tell you that's not living peaceably with all men? That's pride.
That needs to be put to death. The pride of, I just want to put everyone down and I want to exalt myself. Watch out for that. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, the kinds of people that he's going to be dealing with are the people that are doing things wrong that I would want to do things wrong back to. That's what verse number 20 is going to, or 19 and 20 are going to point out. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Why? Because someone's doing wrong to me and I want to get back at them. Isn't that so tempting for us? We'll look at that next week, verses 19 and 20. But do you know that verse 20 is hard? If thine enemy hunger, feed him. Does it say feed him until he likes you? If it be possible. This is the truth, friend. You are going to exercise a peaceable attitude towards things that are not going to result in peace in the way of conflict is over. In this life, there's going to be conflict that's going to continue. You're to still live peaceably. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Peace does not mean surrender. Sometimes we get this idea that in order for there to be peace, I just have to surrender. I just have to give up. You know, the word surrender is not a word you'll find in the New Testament. There's a word that is often, I think, a better use, and it's the word submit or the word subject. And that's what you find in chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto, put under. What is that about? It's not because I agree, but because of the position. Because I see myself as not having to be on top. How do we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord? I see God and I put myself under because being on top, being the exalted one is not what I'm called to. You know what transformed thinking is? I'm not the one that has to win. I'm not the one that has to be the top dog. I'm not the one that gets to say, look at you. That's our flesh, and it fights us a lot. Kids, what if you didn't live to be the one that told everyone else they were always wrong? Adults, what if you didn't live to be the one to tell everyone else in your family or around you at work or anywhere else how wrong they always are, or how wrong what you just heard was and everything else? What is it that makes us want to be conflict-oriented? When I read the things on the public social media around here, I see a whole bunch of people that want to get themselves on top. They're just trying to put themselves above and push someone down. As much as lieth in you, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I want you to be encouraged tonight, church, that we can have that kind of thinking. Peaceable thinking can be produced in us because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't live without personal peace when others seek to steal it away by their actions. Are there people that are constantly trying to take away peace? Pull it, discourage you, throw strife, and get you to follow them in a strife? Don't fall prey to that. Don't fall into that. And let's let the Lord help us as we continue to look at this matter of how we respond to one another and deal with